You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. It is 6:59. You just heard Transpositive, and next up will be Calculated Conversation with David and Ken. If you'd like to call into the show, the number is 503-231-8187. Calculated Conversation coming up next.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the screening of the documentary film Big Money Agenda on Sunday, February 10th at 6:30 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. Big Money Agenda explores the effects of money in politics, Citizens United, as well as solutions to the issues of money in politics that's preventing real change. There will also be a discussion after the film. Again, that's the screening of the documentary film Big Money Agenda on Sunday, February 10th at 6:30 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the second annual Quanise Hayes Annual Anniversary on Saturday, February 9th from 5 to 8 p.m. at the former DMV on 82nd Avenue in Portland. This is a candlelight vigil in loving memory of loved one Quanise Hayes. This event is for the family and friends to remember Moose. On February 9th, 2017, Moose was shot 3 times by police. He was only 17 years old. Bring flowers, candles, and balloons, and stories to the now-closed DMV office near the Banfield Pet Hospital on Northeast 82nd. Again, that's the second annual Quanise Hayes Angelversary on Saturday, February 9th from 5 to 8 p.m. at the former Oregon DMV building, 1836 Northeast 82nd Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
No facilities, cause some don't agree with how I do this. I get straight and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping flavor, my behavior is hereditary, but my technique is very necessary. Blame it on Ice Cube, because he said it get funky when you got a subject and a predicate. Add it on a dope beat and it'll make you think. Some suckers just tickle me pink to my stomach, cause they don't flow like this one. You know what, I won't hesitate to diss one or two before I'm through, so don't try to sing this. Some drop science, well I'm dropping English, even if Yella makes it a cappella. I still express you, I don't smoke weed or sets, cause it's known to give a brother brain damage, and brain damage on the mic don't manage nothing but making a sucker in you equal. Don't be another sequel. Spread yourself. Yourself, my boy, and show you how your track.
What up?
Drop English right about now. Getting back to the PG, that's program, and it's easy. Dre is back, new jacks are made hollow. Expressing ain't the subject because they like to follow the words, the style, the trend. The records are spinning again and again and again. Yo, you're on the other end. Watch your brother blend dope rhymes with no help. There's no fessing or guessing while I'm expressing myself. It's crazy to see people be what society wants them to be, but not me. Ruthless is the way to go, they know. Others say rhymes which fail to be original, or they kill where the hip-hop starts. Forget about the ghetto and rap for the pop charts. Though some musicians, cuz at home, they're scared to use profanity when up on the microphone. Yeah, they want reality, but you hear none. They'd rather exaggerate a little fiction. Some say no to drugs and take a stand, but after the show, they go looking for the dope man. Or they ban my group from the radio here in WA and say hell no. But you know it ain't all about wealth, as long as you make a note to
spread yourself. Do it good. Spread yourself.
Hey, we back again for another wonderful Tuesday at the most, one of the most important radio shows on air, the Calculated Conversation Radio Show. I'm your host, David J, and Ken Jones in the house. And we definitely got a special guest, you know, that's going to drop a little bit of knowledge for us. Antoine Dean Jr. Is in the building, real estate investor, you know.
And major flavor for y'all.
Agent, mogul in the making. So we gonna get with him in a second and kind of hear a few jewels. But, you know, first for the check-in, man, how the week go, man?
Hey, it's been going.
Oh, shoot. You already smiling. What's up? What's up? You about to say something. See, I knew it.
Nah, it's been going. You know what actually been kind of dope? Bro, I started doing, I got sliding glass closet set up and using the dry erase markers and been running a lot of my notes that I be having in my head and putting in the journal.
Right.
And putting certain things up. And one of the joints that been actually active to keep me focused on what's working in a day, right? Because it's so easy to latch on and hold on to what did not work.
Right.
But making sure to go through at the end of the night and run five things that worked exactly like I wanted them to.
Damn.
And that can be something simple as I was grabbing this from the top shelf and it tipped and I grabbed it with the other hand and worked.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Finding those things, but that being kind of what I'm closing the day out on as opposed to replaying everything that didn't go right.
Right.
And
right.
Like that's been one of them ones.
Yeah, I like that.
Right.
Yeah.
And then today, so look, this is funny. So I'm headed into the office at like 5:30 this morning. Uh-huh. And, you know, we stay out in Beaverton.
Mm-hmm.
Nice little area. Mm-hmm. And we had a little snowfall last night. Well, we had the snow, but the roads was cool. So one of my drivers called in and let me know, like, you know, he probably was going to be late. He asked me how the roads was. I was like, yeah, no, that's perfect.
Right. I asked you, too.
Yeah, right. The roads was great. And I told him that before I had jumped on the 84. Jumped on the 84. It got kind of wishy-washy. Hopped off on 122nd. But it was like immediate spin-offs. And so I'm in the Tahoe, though, so I'm thinking I'm good. I slap him in the four low, coming down the road, and somebody in front of me kind of brake check. They start sliding. I'm paying attention to them. I'm probably going 6 miles an hour, if that.
Mm-hmm.
But the truck just start slide.
Just on its own.
Doing its own thing. And it's one of them things, like, you can't hit the gas, you can't hit the brake, you just got to let it do what it do.
Right.
It almost hit up on the curb, managed to catch it.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I was probably doing 2.5, if that, for the rest of the route.
Yeah. I just took it easy most of the day, man. Like last year, I spent the work van around on the freeway twice.
Ooh, yeah, nope.
Trying to be cool. I thought I was coasting. Next thing you know, I was sideways in the road. I thought I was in a bumper car the way that was acting. But you know, outside the weather, you know, I mean, you know, I think everything is still, you know, what it is.
Right.
You know, the universe is always paying homage, showing love back. A lot of great events going on, a lot of great people to connect with. We're just moving up, you know, and we got so many good ideas for the show now and so many opportunities with guests and being able to grow with the show, I think is amazing. So if you're out there listening, it's your first time, it's the Calculated Conversation Radio Show. We'll be up to a year next month.
Next month.
You know, and basically we got a show that's just a talk show, no music. What we do is just kind of break down, I think, like social barriers. You know, we talk about communication, empathy, you know, masculinity, some of the things that's dividing people, you know, and what we want to do is kind of start to create content. You know, and you know, proper words and energy, you know, to be able to get people to feel the way we want them to feel and make sure that we're doing what we can to understand everybody. You know, and along the way, I think just keep inspiring people and try to make sure that, you know, we're having the best interactions that we can possibly have. And so we want to just make sure that every week we touch on some of the things that we find important or that come up to our attention. Or we might just bring guests in here that got a different experience that we don't have and let them kind of educate you on their expertise as far as career and energy and success and the way that they do things and what's worked and what didn't work.
Right.
So we really just here to support, push, help, you know, throw words of encouragement out there, create a conversation that could be difficult. and just, you know, build a certain level of understanding in the bridge so that we don't really have to have all these issues we have amongst people.
Right.
Because a lot of issues we have aren't necessary. We just kind of realize that conversations haven't taken place is all. And so if we can calculate them properly, I think we can get people to listen and hear what we want them to listen and hear and feel the way we want them to feel, you know.
Righteous. So. Shared experience.
So if you're on social media real quick, follow us on Facebook at the Calculated Conversation Radio Show. Twitter, we at Calculated Talk. IG, we at Calculated Conversation. You can Gmail us at calculatedconversation@gmail.com or calculatedconversation.com on the World Wide Web. Right. So, we got Antoine Dean in the building. What's up, Antoine?
How you doing?
Antoine Dean Jr., that is.
Only people who that
you,
really
you don't
know
go
me
with that.
Say, no, the only people who really know me are say Junior. But yeah, I mean that, like when I go down south or like, you know, to Atlanta or whatever, they'll call me. Not only call me Junior, they'll just say Lil Antoine.
Lil Antoine.
But you know what I mean, since my dad, since he went away when I was so young, not a lot of people really know. So people,
yeah. See, really I know him. See, yeah. I was tight with your dad, you know, and pretty tight with your mom, and you know, and I know your dad had been gone for a while, you know, and so I mean, realistically, so I mean, we'll talk about what you do, but. On the surface, I know that you've been doing a lot of work in real estate as far as being an agent, being an investor, and now being a sort of an inspiration in the industry and kind of look like you got a series you put together called Making of a Mogul. Am I right?
Yeah.
It looked like what you're doing is kind of just taking people through the day of a life of somebody that's building and reaching the goal and showing some of the. I've seen you show, you know, houses, some of your projects. A lot of your builders and a lot of people you work with, man, mm-hmm. It's an amazing thing.
Yeah,
thank you. And I wanted you here because not only because of what you do, but how you do it and why you're doing the Making of the Mogul show exactly. Because mm-hmm. I feel like you going a step beyond and not just being personally successful, but you are giving jewels and tools out to people who also may have some interest in that area. So yeah. I'm assuming that you care about other people's success as well.
Most definitely.
And that's why we wanted you here, man. So just tell us a little bit about, man, what you doing, man.
Yeah, so the Making of a Mogul is something. So it wasn't always titled, let's say, the Making of a Mogul, but mm-hmm. I had an email that I sent to my camera guy. Well, I showed to my camera guy that I wanted to. The first time that I reached out to a guy about doing it was January something 2013. Mm-hmm. So I've always had the idea, and I think the true idea behind it is to basically, like, I think, like, before, like, just kind of just, like, as I want, like, knowing that I want to be in business, like I was always obsessed with people's come-up stories. Like, how did so-and-so make it, or how did so-and-so do it, or whatever. Absolutely. So initially, I think a big part of it was just to kind of show the actual come-up story, you know what I mean? Because it's like, you don't see whether it's like an athlete or whether whoever it is, anybody who's in the spotlight, you only see them after it's polished,
right?
You know what I mean? You see them, you only seen a rapper after they make it, you know what I mean? Like, you're not seeing the 2, 3, 4, 5, right. 10, however many years leading up to that. So I thought that it was that, I don't know, I just fell in love with the idea and of being able to show just the process and the journey of that, mm-hmm. and to be able to be honest and show, like, the ups, the downs, and everything, you know what I mean? Because I think sometimes when you see someone and it's a finished product, I feel like it's easier to be mystical about it. Like, oh, this person was just extra good at this, or this person just met this person, or this person, they just had this, or it was just this one deal that, you know, got them there. So I felt like being able to show, you know, to be able just to show the process, the ups and downs and everything, I just felt like, I don't know, it was, you know, it was a dope idea. And then on top of that, too, I think just to show, so, like, you know, like I see, like, you, it's like you said, you know my people, so, like, you kind of know my story, so I kind of started off following my dad's path, and in a sense, not all the way, there's some things he did that I didn't necessarily get into, like gangs and whatnot, so just to be able to show, like, you can grow up a certain way, you can live like, you know what I mean, you can live like this, and then you can completely cross over. Like, I didn't go to college, I didn't do good in school, you know what I mean? And so, like, I kind of already kind of knew I wanted to be in business straight out of high school. So I just to show you can do it your way, and you don't necessarily have to compromise, but to still show that, like, it takes work to get from, you know what I mean, wherever it is that you're trying to go. So,
you know, something I really like about the show, I caught up on the episodes, and we talked about this on here about the ability for people to connect with you just being who you are, mm-hmm. right? And not having this idea, I like that you kind of setting this up, that you do see the polished version. Mm-hmm. But right. there was a moment in there where you was talking to some dude, I don't even remember who it was, but he said something about the millage rate. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I don't know what that, like you said straight yeah. up, like, I don't even know what that, it probably was on a test, probably yeah. that for me, right. that's where I connect.
Yeah. That was
when
wrong.
It's moments like that. Right. It's moments like that. Not trying to be like, oh, yeah, and just nodding, yeah, saying that you flat out, you yeah. know what I mean? Yeah. And so it's pieces like that that I think are important to kind of show.
Yeah.
Because I think we all get this idea that people who are in a position have that figured out.
Yeah.
Like you think of a doctor and you figure they know everything.
Yeah.
And like, that they no. all, and that they always have.
Yeah. They're just wired like that. Like, right. no, it take a lot on the back end. It just right. look easy. We make it look easy. A lot of us who do what we do. But on the back end, what actually goes into it and to have that documented. But that's everything.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So a big part of it too is just to kind of just keep everything just, you know what I mean? Just authentic, you
right.
know, because it's right. like there's a lot of people who, you know what I mean? Just in general that have vlogs or, you know what I mean? It could be on anything, right. but a lot of the time I feel like it's not, it doesn't come across real. It doesn't right. come across authentic. So like a big part of like my whole thing is just kind of like being, you know what I mean? Being yeah. you yeah, know what right. I mean? And yeah. just kind of like you can, you know, you can be successful being yourself, you know right, what I mean? Right. So it's like, I don't really
because it's not a show at that point.
It's not a
switch that gets flipped when the lights come on. It's
exactly so, it's not like I'm pretending to be somebody right, you know what I mean, like right, I'm the same person right. off the camera, on the camera right. you know what I mean. So
I've never really seen you know a making of anything, you know what I mean, like to see something from the, like some of our you know some of the idols we've had growing up, like right. I'd have loved, I mean, you see some videos, but you don't see them saying, okay, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to show you the process, and I will be here regardless, so you might as well, you know, watch these episodes mm-hmm. so you can see what I'm doing, because I'm taking you guys with me every step.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So up until I sign the contract, you know, you'll be there. And besides, when they do a reenactment story of you, the dude that they pick is usually 20 pounds too big and another race or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, let's do the real you.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just amazing idea, man. You know, like just, you know, that shows the confidence that you have in yourself, mm-hmm. The individuality, you know, the promise, the goals, you know, like you definitely, you make a show like that, you basically saying, I will not be denied right. at all.
I mean, that's the goal. Like,
that's the goal? Yeah,
that's the goal. No,
you call yourself a mogul already. That's amazing.
Well, no,
man.
I say to make. So when people call me a mogul, I always say becoming. I always say I'm becoming.
So let me ask right quick then, as far as that word, because I think we've all got, you know, what it means for you.
Mm-hmm.
What is a mogul?
I'm not giving you the dictionary.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, okay. So to me yes. personally, so it's more. So for me, it's like having. I guess like you know. Not I guess how like what am what what's the word I'm looking for? But I guess basically to be able to have. I guess like you know a super super good, like whether it's family life, what you know health, mm-hmm. You know just to have a well-rounded, you know right. good life right. but to and then I guess like the you know the cherry on the top of it is that you know to be exceptional in business, you
right.
know what I mean
right, right.
So for me being a mogul, like what that looks like when I get to that point is more so just like owning buildings. Like I have like you know, like I like, and if you've seen it in the vlogs before, like I have colleagues who like, mm-hmm. and like you know, not too far from yeah. here, like
yep.
own buildings that are worth tens of millions of dollars right, and whatnot. Right. So to be yeah. able to,
you said that on your show, I've yeah, seen yeah, that. You was talking yeah. about some of your
yeah, yeah. So I had like just recently, it hasn't made a vlog or anything. But I have like a colleague that I'm super close to who just recently sold a building for like $16.9 million.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so it's like to be close to that, like we have yeah. conversations, you know, yes. often. So I'm right. always asking, you know, like, you know, what is it, you know, like when I before I make certain moves or if I'm thinking about certain things, I kind of just like bounce certain things off yeah. of people. But I guess like for me to, you know, is to be able to own, you know, buildings, whether that's mm-hmm. like apartment buildings, office buildings, and so the whole like the bigger goal behind it is generational wealth, you right. know what I mean?
Of course,
so to right. be able to have my last name actually mean something in the city that I live in,
right.
like you know the deans, yes. like oh yeah, like yeah,
that's
yeah
right.
like,
that's
like
right.
that thing, and you know, and to be able to like so So basically when my, you know, children grow up and my children's children and grandchildren and all, like, you know, to be able to have a, you know, a heritage or a dynasty of, you know, that, you know, we have money and we have it forever. You know what I mean? That's the goal, to be able to start that, you know what I mean? Or to get to that position. And then of course to be able to teach my kids, like, if you don't do nothing, right, you can go be whatever you want, but you got to at least buy one building a year. We got to keep this thing. Yeah. You got to keep the machine going. You know what I mean? You can't eat all the fruit off the tree, you know?
And you got the blueprint being documented.
That's the idea behind it. So, and I always say, you know what I mean? So if this is, you know, 30 years in the future, if my grandkids is watching this, please don't blow all the money, you know what I mean? Because you got kids and your kids gonna have kids, so we gotta eat off the tree for as long as possible.
Right. Long term, like, you know, we big fans of long term thinking, and, you know, and again, I mean, that's still kind of calculating. Yeah. You know, anytime you calculate, you're making moves today for a certain result tomorrow.
You know,
and I think that's important when you reach success, because it comes from proper planning and proper vision. I mean, a lot of people just go in there blind, don't know what they're going to do or how they're going to do it, and haven't really tapped into their own inner passions and self, but always saying, I'm going to be rich one day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like we all grew up saying one day, oh, I'm going to be rich, but we never really knew how.
Yeah.
Because that was kind of ingrained in us, I feel like, as we were, you know, when we were kids.
Right.
We knew that being rich was good, but we never really knew what rich was or how we were supposed to get rich or how to even utilize our own skills to even, you know, find that. And when we saw what rich was, a lot of times we try to emulate what we've seen other people do.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and that doesn't always work, because we're not always gifted with the things that other people have. And so that's why I'm very appreciative that you said be yourself.
Yeah.
Because, you know, me and Ken, you know, I can speak for Ken, I believe, when we say that we think being yourself is the key, breaking yourself down, understanding your connection with the world and your individual talents, and then being able to deliver that to the universe, deliver that to your people, deliver that to the world, and watch the deliveries that come back to you. And then once they start coming back, start reaching back out to the people and say, okay, here's the education that I have.
Yeah.
Don't be like me per se, but I'm gonna show you how to be like you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna get, you know, this is what I do.
Yeah.
But what I'm giving you is bigger than real estate. It's more self. I'm giving you yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I want you to be you. I want you to, this is me being me, but just take the formula of self-awareness, you know, and, you know, self-accountability, and self-talents, you know, and create you this way. In your own way.
Apply as, you know, needed.
And I think that's important, man. I mean, that's one of the biggest, you know, I feel like it's one of the biggest tools to success is really understanding who you are and why you're here.
I agree with that.
You know, and so we try to push that. So I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, no, like I said, I think that's it'll be a lot easier, and you can be successful a lot faster once you figure out who you are and know who you are, because it's like, you know, like, I could want to be exactly like you, right? Mm-hmm. But like, there are certain things that you do for your reasons, you know what I mean? And it gives you a certain benefit, but it may not benefit me to do it your way. So being able to know myself well enough to be able to say, like, that's not gonna work for me, or to be able, like, know yourself well enough to, like, I'm gonna take a piece. So like, what I like to do is I like to take a piece from this person, take a piece from this person, you know, gel it in with kind of who I am naturally,
right?
And then that makes the whole of, you know what I mean, who I am, you know, or that, how I go about doing whatever it is,
right? And that's your personal gumbo.
Yeah, exactly, right. Exactly. Because everybody's different. You can find somebody who's similar to you, you know what I mean, and then you get as much as you can from them, and then, like I said, you I feel like everyone's different regardless.
Right. I think you phrased that perfect, as far as like the motivation, what somebody, the reason they're doing that for.
Yeah.
And trying to just pull the template.
Yeah. Yeah.
And think you can run with it.
Right.
It doesn't work, and you can't figure out why. But again, it's a different motivation. But you get those little pieces and see how can that be tweaked. I mean, it's like art and everything else. It's just it's flipping an idea that's already been there. You take from this, you see how you can throw your own flavor into that, and push forward with it.
Yeah.
And I think it's a lot of people who end up running into walls because they're trying to take somebody's whole template and apply it to their lifestyle, their way of thinking, their emotional state. You know what I mean? You got to understand who you are. You got to know this person might be great at handling feedback that's harsh.
Yeah.
There's some people that can take the work, and there's some people that you can't tell them anything wrong about themselves.
Yeah.
Right.
So you try to take the template of somebody that's able to deal with that, and you wonder why you keep getting put in these weird situations. You know, it's just that understanding the self is, I think, top level. And I don't think that gets emphasized as much young.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of them things that got to kind of be hit on when you're young, so you're rooted in it. Yeah. Again, there's some people, self-awareness from a young age, like those people, shout out those people. I wish I had that.
Right.
But, it
took a while.
You know, it came a little bit later, but it's just that's what needs to be preached.
Yeah.
Kind of what you're setting up as far as having a template, right? But handing it off in a way that make the adjustments.
Make the adjustments.
Right. It's here. The framework is here. Build around that.
Right.
Run with it.
Right. So, calculate.
So I got a question right quick. You said something about the 2013 kind of having the idea. So what's kind of the timeline of real estate?
I guess when you say, just so I'm answering the question properly, you're saying when you say the timeline, what?
Like, so the timeline of when it, because you said from high school, after high school, you knew you wanted to do business.
Yeah.
That's general.
Yeah.
That's huge. So when did it get narrowed into real estate?
And how did it get narrowed into real estate?
Yes. There you go. Okay. So I'll start off. So in high school, and I'm sorry, y'all, I'm getting over a cold. So I got phlegm in my throat. So I keep, I don't want to sound, you know what I mean?
It's all right.
I was, so basically the timeline, so in high school I always like to sum it up and say it in this manner. I was selling a lot of things I shouldn't have been selling, or doing a lot of things I shouldn't have been doing, right?
It wasn't real estate, right? No, it wasn't real estate.
You know what I mean? So yeah, so I was hustling, exactly. So so in high school I've like I said, so real estate is one of those things I've naturally always just liked, just in general. So like growing up, my favorite board game was like Monopoly. You know what I mean?
You finished a game of Monopoly in your life?
A bunch of them.
What?
A bunch of them. So we got a
unicorn in the building, because I don't know nobody that's finished the game.
So there's Monopoly. So I have a vlog. I have a vlog of me and my friends playing Monopoly with real money.
Oh,
it's nice. a whole game. We weren't playing for it. We were playing with it.
Okay. Oh. And make sure you let people know where they can find you and follow you. Too,
no, most
man.
Definitely. So on Instagram, that's mainly where I'm at. Instagram is Antoine J. Dean, and it's Antoine, and then J. Dean, Dean. And that's basically, Facebook, Instagram. You know, that's basically everything. And YouTube as well. It's Antoine J. Dean. But if you go on YouTube, we have a thank you. We have a vlog where we play Monopoly, a game with real money. Okay. I've always loved. I've always loved Monopoly. And one of my friends back in the day, we used to have his house was the spot. You know what I mean? That's where a lot of things was happening. So we used to just play Monopoly. You know what I mean? And just make our money. And just sit there and play Monopoly. So I finished a bunch of games of Monopoly. Okay. But so I guess initially I've always liked Monopoly. I always told my mom from a young age. I don't necessarily know why, but I want to do like hotels and casinos or whatever. And so along the way I got in high school I started to like really get interested in just business and whatnot. And so there was a bunch of different things that I tried my hand at, kind of like didn't work out. But like I was just talking with myself and I was like, I want to invest in real estate, So just looking into how can I get into that? And so I looked into being like a real estate agent and because it was like, this is a way that you can basically get into the business. And it doesn't cost like a whole bunch, it doesn't cost a whole bunch of money to get in. And then it's like, I can learn about what I'm getting ready to like buy and sell. So I can educate myself at the same time to make money to be able to invest. Right. So that probably came when I was like 22. So I would say, So when I graduated from high school, originally I had a teacher and he told me, he was basically saying like, if you say $20,000 and you get a job for a year, we can buy you a house. So 2011 in Portland was probably like one of the best times that you could buy. You know what I mean?
Hey.
And so long story short, I had the money, but I didn't want to work a job. Like, I wasn't getting ready to, you know. And so, like I said, I end up just, like I said, starting other different things. And then it just kind of came back. It kind of came back around. And so
and that time you accepted it.
Yeah, so that time I accepted it. And then when I looked at being a real estate agent, it was kind of like the same thing I was doing before. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you're just being, I'm just being myself. And it's all about connections. You know what I mean? And networking. And it's all about, like, you know, the people and the relations. Exactly. Exactly. You know. All
right. Staying in business, transferring skills. And industries. Real quick for the listeners, if you want to call in, you can't call in right now because we want to get the conversation solid and complete, but we're going to save the last 15 minutes for phone calls. So remember, the number here is 503-231-8187. You want to tap in with us, you want to tap in with Antoine, ask a question, give us some feedback, let us know how you're feeling about the show. We definitely open-minded to that, so keep that in mind, man. And again, we at Calculated Conversation on IG. We at Calculated Conversation Radio Show on Facebook. Calculated Talk on Twitter. CalculatedConversation.com on www. So, yeah, man. So let me ask you a question. Yeah. And so what? So, I mean, did you know anybody in real estate when you were coming up?
Mm-mm.
So you had a natural passion for real estate. Yeah, I just
like
real estate.
Yeah, like when I was little, I used to like just open spaces, or if I would like if we didn't move often, but when we move, if it was just like a big empty house, like I like
you
that. I just did something I just liked. I don't know.
See,
that's not something I could just like. I can't just put my hand. Like, people ask me this, so I can't just be like, oh, it was this moment. Like I seen this. Like I remember. Like this is random, but like. It'd be infomercials like late night on TV, and they'd be like talking about like real estate, like buying this, like you should buy this book. Yeah. Like I would like when I was little, I would always want to buy the book. You know what I mean? But like, yeah, it was just something I just liked.
Well, you know, Antoine, I know I speak for myself. Hopefully, I can too. I keep saying that because you know we got a lot going on, but you know I'm sure we don't agree on everything. But you know, I'm a big fan of the universe and energy, you know, and spirituality, just on feeling the vibes from who I am and what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
I feel like some of the most important things that we should be doing with our time and with our life are things that we didn't choose.
Mm.
You know, they come out of nowhere. We get this feeling. We don't know why we care. We don't know why we love it. We don't know why we like it.
Mm-hmm.
We just know that we do, and we know that we get this certain feeling when we in this in the realm of whatever that is, and it guides us, you know, and I think it takes us to where we're supposed to be, whether we know it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Which kind of makes sense that you had this passion, you know, this affinity for real estate, for watching infomercials for Monopoly, and you don't know where it came from.
I have no idea.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's what, you know, and I feel like when you follow these things, you don't know why you follow them, but you follow. And you listen and you take the necessary steps. You don't really know where you don't know why you have this strong desire for this. I feel like it's guiding you to where you're supposed to be and where you're supposed to fit in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I really feel like life gets easier, you know, when you get a chance to, you know, listen to that and acknowledge that and take action because of the feelings that you get from you don't know where.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the beauty of being yourself, because sometimes you don't know who you are, but the universe knows who you are.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so, and that's why you get further when you follow your own energy as opposed to doing what everybody else is doing.
Yeah.
I didn't feel that way about Monopoly growing up. All I knew was I was moving that little shoe around, and when they kept taking money, I was like, you know what?
I just know there
you know what I mean?
There was many almost fades.
You know, that's what I'm saying. See, and you saw a difference, so you were supposed to feel different about that.
Yeah.
And it explains to where you are, man. Nobody pushed you in real estate. Nobody said this is what you're gonna do.
Mm-hmm.
You was guided by something way bigger than that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, it makes sense. I actually never thought about it like that. But yeah. No, I agree with you. I definitely agree
with
you.
We weird, man, up here.
Yeah.
And you caught a flow. And with me saying that you caught a flow, watching, you know, the up to episode 8. That's how far. I don't know if there's another one after that.
No, that's it. That's
I'm caught up.
You just missed the Monopoly vlog. That's all. That's it.
Probably because I'm doing multiple, but for the most part, taking it, right?
I'm just messing with
right.
you.
Right. So with that, though, it never seems forced.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something I pay attention to, right? That's what I'm a social science guy. I'm paying how all this works. And it never seems forced, and that's why I can rock with it. That's why I made it through, because my attention span is small for videos.
It seemed natural.
Yeah, and it seemed natural, so I feel like I'm like, oh, I could rock with that, because it's consistent. It doesn't seem like it pops on, because you're doing the human stuff, right? Yeah. Even when before answering the call, be like, you know what I mean? The same thing we all do. Right. And it's just something in that's for me, seeing somebody catch that flow and run with that, and then doing it in their way, because it's not a mixtape. You ain't the road to a mixtape. Yeah, you know what I mean? Right. And no, downing anybody that's their path.
Yeah.
But taking something that's not the normal, right? Mm-hmm. And making it normal.
Yeah.
And not only that, but doing it in a way that you're doing it in a way that you took your natural skill set and just applied it.
Yeah.
So it's not, you're not having to try to figure out. I mean, of course, you got to learn the things in the trade, the jargon, right?
Yeah.
Learn the language
of
the trade. But outside of that, you're still bringing who you are and breaking it down into a way that me, him. I mean, I don't know the background, but taking it that I feel like after watching it, I might be able to do something.
That's the goal. Because I guess the thing is, I feel like with real estate is to it's directed in real estate because I'm in real estate, but it's meant to be bigger, you know, bigger than that. But it's to be able to show, like, you can go out and do whatever it is that, you know, that you want to do on your terms. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, I want you to be able to feel like one of the episode when I, like, the last duplex that I had bought, that you feel like that you can go out and, you know, when I was explaining the deal, like, you could go find it and you can go, you know what I mean? That's the goal, to show that it's, you know what I mean, that it's doable, because, like, it's so many, and I hate it so much, but it's like so many, like, online courses, like, you know what I mean, classes, people trying to sell you the whole thing for, you know, I don't know, for however much money and all of this. And it's like, I mean, granted, like, there's a lot of moving pieces, but it's not like rocket science, you know what I mean? It's just, you gotta have your pieces, you gotta know how to put all these different moving pieces together, you
communication
know?
I think communication and the ability to make people comfortable.
Yeah,
I think if you have the ability to make people comfortable, and that's probably in any arena you jump in.
Yeah,
you get people to be comfortable. That's what that's why a psychologist makes so much money, you know what I mean. Being able to sit down and get people to relax and trust in what you're saying.
Yeah,
right. And of course, some people use that to their advantage and know nothing about what they're talking about. Yeah. But if it's backed up with action and you actually know what's behind there, I think that's a big thing. And I think it's a lot of people that have that skill set don't know where to apply it, though.
Yeah.
And I just think that's one of those things that jump so many lines.
Yeah.
But you're typically dealing with people who are making the biggest investment of their life if they didn't go to college.
Yeah.
That might be the top. But so with that, I got a question. Like, your first property that you closed on.
Okay.
Explain to us right quick that feeling.
Okay.
Like, when that was, like, for real.
So when you say, and just to clarify.
Right,
so
I'm
when
trying you, to say close
so
what?
When you say first property, like, the first house that I sold, like, as an agent with a client, or the first property that I bought for me?
Right.
See, you broke it down even further than I
was. I wanted to.
So I want to know for yourself.
For myself.
Yes.
So for myself, it was the first property that I got. Like, it was a duplex over, like, in Cully.
Did you show it on?
It's on there. Yeah.
On the show,
yeah, it's on there. It's on there. It's over. It's over by Cully. It was almost surreal a little bit, just because, like, when you just think about, like, so, like, I know David knows me, but my mom had me when she was, like, 16, you know what I mean? Right. So, like, we go from, like, my mom hasn't even bought a house yet, you know what I mean? Right. So, like, to be able, and, like, you know, growing up, you know, food stamps, Section 8, all of that kind of stuff, to now being the landlord, it was just kind of different. And I was super appreciative and just grateful to be able to, like, purchase something and to be able to, like, to own it, just because, like, you know, you go from, like, even a couple years before then, like, when I was living with my mom, like, I was living in, you know, in the basement, like, it was just, you know what I mean? So to be able to go from that to be able to have something, like, this is, like, you know, this is, like, mine, like, not that I would ever go to jail, but if you go to jail, like, you can put up your house for, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah,
to actually have
you
something real, you know what I mean? And that's something that, you know, generates money and all of that kind of stuff. So I was super grateful and just like, you know, appreciative to like, you know, the universe and whatnot, just to be able, you know, to do that. And I was nervous too, you know what I mean? That first one, just because it's like, it's something, and I guess like the process, like when, as I was going through the process of buying it, I wasn't like nervous, because you know, I didn't help my clients buy houses a bunch of times, so it wasn't that. It was just more so like, what if something happens, you know what I mean, something breaks down or you have this, or you know what I mean. But it's like, of course, like when you buy a house, you get your home inspection, so I knew what I was buying, and I knew there wasn't, but you still just have that, you know what I mean. You still, it was just, but to answer that, I just felt super grateful, and it just was kind of surreal for a little bit.
Kind of just almost too good to be true, like something gonna go wrong or something.
Super good feeling, because it's like, before, so like when you first become an agent, or like, you know, like if you're self-employed, they want to see 2 years of tax returns. Mm-hmm. So you know, like you gotta make decent money for the next 2 years, you know what I mean? And so it's like, I wanted to buy my first property my first year, I've been wanting to buy one. So it was just kind of like that delayed gratification of like, okay, now I have 2 years of tax returns in the same field, now I can go out and purchase something, you know what I mean? So
you stayed focused though.
Yeah.
And your goal was set, you knew what you was gonna do, your mind was just made up, right?
Man,
that's pretty dope, man. I mean, we definitely just glad that you're sharing. I mean, because I feel like, you know, I talk all the time about the definition of success.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I kind of feel like that in order for us to get to, you know, where we need to be as a people, like we have to change the definition that's been previously kind of respected and, you know, and held as a badge of honor, you know. Yeah. And so I like that. And the only way you're going to change it is being yourself and doing what you do, you know, because success really can't be defined universally, no matter how hard people try to do that, you know. Mm-hmm. And it happens all the time, but it's a very, very specific, you know, idea, you know, to the person that, you know, it's affecting at the time, you know. Yeah. And being able to share that, because you don't really have to share that with the people, you know, and that's why we appreciate what you're doing and wanted to have you here, because a lot of people that do real estate or are successful, they don't really share those jewels.
Why
do you share? Exactly.
That's just a part of just me. I don't know. It's just wanting, because it's, I feel like there's,
it's who you are.
The one thing too, I feel like, I don't feel like if you hopped in real estate tomorrow, like I don't feel like your success is my failure.
Hey,
you know what I mean? Because you start winning that you're gonna take something from me. You know what I mean? Like I feel like there's enough, you know, property, there's enough real estate, it's enough to go around. So like, I don't live in a place of like scarcity. There's not enough, or like, you know what I mean? Like if I tell this person how to do something, I'm gonna miss out on, you know what I mean? So I feel like, you know, like I don't know if you ever seen, you know, the quote, but it's like, you know, a fire loses nothing by sharing its flame. You know what I mean? If I'm on fire and I set something else on fire, I didn't lose anything by setting, you know what I mean? No. Giving them the fire. You know what I mean? So I feel like for me, that, you know, that's how that's a part of it. But then too, like I feel like I think what I'm doing is simply just like, if I, this is what I, like when I started in real estate, this is what I wanted to watch. You know what I mean? Like I'm just showing and giving what I wish I would have had. You know what I mean? So if I was able to like when I was in real estate to be able to watch someone like, okay, you know, buy, you know, whether it was buy property or help their clients, you know, like, or do all of these things and talk about what they were going through. Like if I could have watched that when I was most influential, you know what I mean? Or most influenced by it, I feel like I could have been further ahead, or there's things that I could have, you know, did. So I'm just kind of like giving the world what I just didn't have, you know what I mean?
And I think it's something too to say to that too. And we talk about this often, where this type of information exchange being done from people that if I was younger looking at one of us, I'd be like, okay, I can do that. As opposed to some other examples, you know, these teachers, counselors, and so on that try to jump in and tell us how things should be, where they was giving us the right information,
right?
But we wasn't trying to hear it from that because that wasn't a reflection of where we were at.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think there's something big with being able to jump in and be that representation. Mm-hmm. Because they take it a bit better.
Yeah,
I think about how many people, you know, if I didn't have all this, I'm tattooed from here to here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I show up working corporate and so on. I managed to make this all work for myself.
Yeah.
But being that example, when I come out here and have this conversation with somebody 16, 17, 18, and I'm talking about something, it's respected a different type of way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And being able to see that where somebody's jumping on YouTube or something and come across what you're doing and it's not the typical template.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's something that now I can see myself, because all those other barriers that I kind of have learned through life that are not necessarily barriers, but they are kind of. I'm now seeing somebody that's a mirror.
Yeah.
I'm now seeing somebody that represents what I came from and where I'm trying to be.
Yeah.
Right.
That's motivation. You know, I've walked in a room before trying to, you know, break into the technology world and walking into a room and seeing somebody come sit down that look close to me, have these conversations and be leading this room and felt like, oh, that's all I needed to see.
Right.
Because in this space, he's owning it, right? That made me feel like here. So I just think about how many other people are kind of looking for something to attach to them. When you have this certain type of representation, speaking the language that they're trying to learn.
Yeah, right, and to kind of, you know, piggyback on that, you know, a lot of times, you know, unfortunately in our society, people really don't like to learn or listen to things or people that they're not familiar with or don't identify with.
That's kind of
setting itself up in a way, you know, because they close themselves off to other, you know, levels of awareness and information. But in a positive note, you know, it makes people really are only comfortable where they're understood at.
That's
just the bottom line, you know.
Typically,
And you know, you got the ability to understand a lot of people, you know, and a lot of times people don't, especially from our community, they don't do nothing until they see one of us do it. And that's one thing I've always noticed about, you know, being from, you know, inner city, is like people from the inner city, they don't really do anything or try anything unless they see people from the inner city doing it.
Yeah.
Everything else they think is out of their reach.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's truly amazing when we get one of our own to be able to, you know, defeat those barriers, you know, challenge those, you know, those cults, those mental cults that we get caught up in, you know, challenge our traditional strategy of where we come from and say, I'm gonna just be myself. I know what's going on around here and where we from, but I'm just gonna be myself. And then being yourself is you're gonna shine. You're gonna outshine. So, and when we do shine, either we run with our shine and take it to a new place, or we take our shine back to where, you know what, I want all of us to shine.
Righteous.
You know, and so I'm not going to take my shine and run, but I'm going to bring it right back here and see what else I can do, because I feel better if we all moving up.
Right.
You know, and so it's just a great thing what you're doing, man. And we really, and I know, knowing your parents and knowing where you come from, like, I'm amazed, man. And so I definitely was excited about getting you on the show,
because
you're not only doing that, but, and then you know, you're teaching. No, nobody wants to teach. Nobody wants to educate for free. Nobody wants to, you know, pass down information. Cause again, we come from this era, we come from this social brainwashing to where people think that if anyone else is successful, then I'm not going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to prevent that. And so with that being said, we want to take some phone calls because we got a few minutes left and we know some people at least want to ask you a question or two, and we want to hear them out. And so if you're out there, now's the time to call. The number is 503-231-8187. You know, ask Antoine a question, ask us one, or just chime in. We ready for you.
And we got some CC on the line.
We got CC on the line right now.
Yes, can you guys hear me?
Yeah. How you doing? We glad you called. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We good. You wanna chime in?
Okay. So my question is, just listening in on the conversation, it sounds like, because I don't know a lot about real estate, but I know one of the issues here in our community in Portland is that trying to close the racial wealth gap. So like a lot of people of color are in lower income communities, so they might not have a lump sum of money to invest in real estate. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering, Antoine, from your perspective, is there anything that lower income communities can do, like maybe smaller steps to take steps towards becoming real estate owners, or any advice on kind of that from your perspective?
Yeah, so I would say as far as my first duplex that I purchased, I got paid like $10,000 to buy it. So there are certain programs like the IDA program. You have this is basically like a 3-to-1 match program, and you know, if you reach off, like I said, if you reach out to me, you know, off air, I can, you know, tell you about it. There's other things. It's called like the DPAL program, and it's called just a down payment assistance loan. And like you, they'll give you anywhere from like $40,000 to $60,000 on that one. So there are ways, if you don't necessarily like have the, you know, have a whole bunch of money, to still be able to purchase real estate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because I know I've heard of the IDA program, but they were saying that, like, that has to be your principal residence. So, like, you can't flip the house, basically. I was wondering, from a business standpoint, if there's anything. But, yeah, if that's a long question, I can definitely reach out to you offline. No problem.
Yeah, I guess, to be honest with you, I mean, the best way, and I would say to, like, if you were to, like, try to flip something, is to really just, I guess, focus on like, you know, networking and just finding people in the industry. So like the last property that I purchased, I had a guy who, you know, gave me 40 grand basically, you know. So I mean, I guess if you're limited by, you know, financial resources, I would just really try to, you know, attempt to network as much as you can, you know, because that's what's going to really open it up for you. As far as like if you're interested in like flipping or investing or something like that.
Okay, yeah, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, okay, bye.
All right, so basically she just need to make sure she get around people in the industry, yeah, talk to them, connect, get numbers, have conversations, and be at events or be at places where these guys are and they're talking, and just kind of vibe off that energy.
Yeah, that's what I would say, because like on, yeah, like the episode of me purchasing the last duplex, I went, you know, shows me picking up a, you know, a $40,000 check from somebody.
I think I've seen that one. Yeah,
and you know, and cashing it. And I was only able to buy my last duplex because I had that connection. Had I not had that connection, well, I mean, I probably could have put it together, but it would have been a lot more stressful. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I would just say, so as far as like investing and whatnot, I would say relationships are going to be the next, you know, super, super important.
Great. I'm glad you said that, because again, calculated conversation, a big part of the show is about relationships, you know, and not really just, you know, personal, you know, like, you know, family, wife or whatever, but just, you know, people in general, you know, the more people you connect with, you know, the more reasonable you are to be communicated with, the more open-minded you are to things that are different. Being able to step in buildings and in places where you normally wouldn't go, and just taking these risks and realizing, you know, what's out there for you, you know, and you never know who you're going to meet, and you never know where the energy takes you.
Yeah, most definitely.
And so I feel like building relationships is kind of the biggest part of why calculated conversations are important.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, because that's what we're doing. I mean, we building relationships, and it's a pleasure to see that concept and idea is applicable to, you know, multiple areas of life, including real estate, man. Yeah.
I always say the two things that separate you from where you want to be in life is who you know and what you know. You know what I mean? When those two come together, you know what I mean? It's, you know, because if you know what you're talking about and you know the right people, you're going to be, you know what I mean? You're there, you know what I mean? So a lot of the time what's separating people is either they don't know enough or they don't know the right people or both.
Right.
The thing is just to realize, okay, I don't know this and I don't know the right people. It's, you got to find the right people and then learn the information, and you'll be, you know what I mean, where you'll be to wherever it is that you want to be.
Right. And I think a big part of that, again, is understanding the importance of communication, you know, and being open-minded, you know, because and managing your energy to a level to where, I mean, you're attractive spiritually. Mm-hmm. So people actually want to engage with you in these things, though. And so before we get out of here, we got a few minutes, though. I got a couple of questions. I got, one question I want to ask you and maybe for the people as well too, is what was your biggest challenge in the real estate business, you think?
Biggest challenge in the real estate
business. Was anything kind of rough? You ever been frustrated along the way?
Oh, no. I mean, most definitely. I mean, I think especially I would say the early days are always going to be more so generated around like getting that first deal. I feel like was the most, you know, or getting to the point where things were a lot more steady. Because, you know, as a real estate agent, you're completely self-employed. You know what I mean? Like, I'm an independent contractor. So it's like, I eat what I kill, you know what I mean? I would say the most frustrating part initially was just like, you know, getting the word out there like that, you know, that I do real estate, and then establishing myself enough to where people actually want to, you know, work with me. So I would say those are like the most, you know, frustrating days. It's just like that, you know, that beginning, like, you know, that first deal, or maybe it's not the first deal. Maybe it's like between, you know, my first or my third deal, between the third and fourth deal, it was 2 months, you know what I mean? Three months. And it's like, you know, you're not making no money. You know, you feel like it's not it's not happening as fast as you want. I would say, I mean, that initially that was, you know, that was a big frustration. And then, like, you know, you have certain just growing pains. And this is what just any business, like, there's points in times where you're just juggling a whole bunch of things. So, like, if I have, let's say there's been times where I've had, like, you know, six deals pending at once. So, you know, let's say each client has a lender or they have a partner, and then they're connected to a title company. And then, you know, so it's like for every one person, I'm talking to two or three other people. Okay. And then, so if you got six people and they're all attached to two different people, so
six times three is 27 or something.
So that's what I'm saying. You have those kind of pains. And then, like, when I did my first rehab project, you know what I mean? Like, dealing with contractors, like, that was a headache, you know what I mean? At the end of the whole thing. So it's just like, depending, like, you know, each stage you're going to have different, you know, different challenges, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They never stop.
That's important to highlight.
Yeah, they never, challenges never stop.
How important is faith, especially when things is going rough?
Like,
do you know any agents or anybody that actually quit?
There's a couple agents that I know who have came into, like, you know, whether it was like the office that I work in and end up, you know, not being there anymore. And I think it's just, a lot of times people just don't have that grit or that hustle. You know what I mean? Right. It's just, so yeah, I think knowing what you're hustling for, knowing what you're working for, I would say in general, you know what I mean? Because if you know what you're doing something for, it's easy to, you know, do something no matter how grueling or how hard it is.
Okay, so we got like a minute and a half left, real quick.
So,
man,
run it down where they can find you, where they can get you, all the drops.
Oh yeah, so Instagram is Antoine J Dean, and it's AntoineJDean, and that's the same thing for YouTube and Facebook. And that's other than that, that's where I'm at. You know, my number is somewhere on any of them. So if you want to reach out to me, my email's on there. So if you want to reach me, have any questions about, you know, anything real estate related, I'm more than happy to help.
All right, real quick in 30 seconds, man. One piece of advice for anybody wanting to get in real estate.
That's a good one.
45 seconds.
45 seconds. Really quick. I would say the best advice that I could give you is just to kind of think initially what it is that you want to focus on when you first get into the business. You know what I mean? Because there's a bunch of different avenues. People think real estate, they just think houses. Like, there's a bunch of different sectors. Do you want to focus on an area? First time home buyers. Do you want to focus on, you know, rental properties, flippers, new construction, land?
Okay, what if they say first time buyer?
First time home buyers, if they want to focus on that,
the first step I would say,
go to all of the organizations that are giving out find out everybody who's giving out the grants or all of the money. And I would say, you know, go there. And a lot of times they'll let you do classes there or start doing classes yourself.
Don't worry, because I'm about to find out all that information.
Right. We'll tell y'all again. So, man, Antoine, we thank you, man. We proud of you. You're blessing the people. You're going a long way, bro, and you came a long way. You're going even further, man. So keep up the good work.
Right, calculated everything.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
That's great.
now I'm living in correctional facilities. Cause some don't agree with how I do this. I get straight and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping flavor, my behavior is hereditary, but my technique is very necessary. Blame it on Ice Cube, because he said it get funky when you got a subject and a predicate. Add it on a dope beat and it'll make you think. Some suckers just tickle me pink to my stomach, cause they don't flow like this one. You know what? I won't hesitate to diss one or two before I'm through, so don't try to sing this. Some drop science, well I'm dropping English, even if Yella makes it a cappella. I still express yo, I don't smoke weed or sex, cause it's known to give a brother brain damage, and brain damage on the mic don't manage nothing but making a sucker in you equal. Don't be another sequel. Spread yourself. For the pop chart, so where should a brother like you start expressing yourself, my boy, and show you how your track?
What up?
Drop English right about now. Getting back to the PG, that's program, and it's easy. Dre is back, new jacks are made hollow. Expressing ain't the subject because they like to follow the words, the style, the trend. The records I spin again and again and again. Yo, you're on the other end. Watch a brother blend dope rhymes with no help. There's no fessing or guessing while I'm expressing myself. It's crazy to see people be what society wants them to be, but not me. Ruthless is the way to go. They know others say rhymes with fans to be original.
This is KBOO Portland. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from True West, presenting Dark Star Orchestra February 8th and 9th at the Roseland Theater. Tickets and more information online at truewest.com.
Got the club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she choose a club going up on a Tuesday.